Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the NerdWatch podcast. I am G Money. I am joined by several immature douchebags.
How dare you, sir? I'm a nerd.
You have to say D-bags when we're on the
air. Oh, that's right. D-bags. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to censor myself.
Yeah, that's insensitive.
Oh, man, we're going to start the show again.
It's not like we're talking about
Stop it. Anyway, welcome
really
everybody to the show.
Me off.
We are the Nerd Watch. It is
I can swear too.
Tuesday night, so that means the Nerd Watch is in full effect, and we're going to be talking about.
Full effect, yo!
Yo! We're going to be talking about some nerd stuff. We're going to be talking about Dark Tower. We're going to talk about a big movie that came out digitally today. Which is going to be a lot of fun.
Debbie
as well.
Does Dallas.
No, that's not the one.
Debbie does the Dark Tower.
Debbie, that could Debbie be one as well. On DVD.
Debbie honks a banana into a paper bag.
You guys are idiots.
Banana. I grew up inside of Action Video.
Banana.
All right. Well, listen. Let me.
I was conceived in Action Video.
Let me introduce my
How did he hold his hand closed so tight
nerdy
till he got
home? Compatriots.
I don't know how it happened.
My nerdy compatriots
conceived
tonight.
In a dark tower.
I am joined by the comic book artist extraordinaire, the man who is the author, artist of Kakui Project, Disco Thunder Groovebone. Todd Bernardi is in the house tonight.
Ooh. Hi guys.
Yay. Yay.
Hey, it's him.
Hey.
Also joining us tonight is the punk rock superstar, the horror aficionado,
punk rock.
And the man who is trying to record an album, but is having a rough go of it. But it's okay. We're here for you. Ladies and gentlemen, Gannon is in the house today as well.
Gannon, Gannon, punk rock,
yeah.
He's also like that Glenn Danzig of punk.
Yeah, he is. Nice. Also joining us tonight.
He says something about
that. No.
I got it. Also joining us tonight is our movie mogul, our favorite...
Movie mogul?
Diet Coke.
Apparently,
Coke
I'm a
drinker.
Movie mogul.
Yeah.
It's actually
What's
Coke
your name
Zero.
This week?
What's your name this week?
It's got no name on it.
No name.
Oh, man.
His name is Zero.
Boo, 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 boo.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Settle.
And he is also a Twin Peaks expert and what they call.
I thought you were going to call him a twink.
No, they call Twin
He's
Peaks experts lodgers. So, ladies and gentlemen, our lodger, Isaac, is in the house tonight.
Hello.
Aloha.
So if you had a court case that was hinging on Twin Peaks knowledge, you could call him to the stand.
You could call him to the stand. You absolutely
legally.
Could.
He could be your dial-a friend.
Right.
In the eyes of the law.
Also joining us tonight is the gaming guru himself. It is the one, guru. The only, the man we call Format.
Greetings, America.
Yeah.
Format, in Japan.
Format's going to help
in
me
Japan.
Help me decide whether or not I should buy a new 2DS XL. That's what I'm curious.
Yes.
I should?
You should buy two and give one to me.
Aren't they the same price as
it's either
the Switch?
No, it's actually $150 less, but I'm debating whether or not I should
That's
wait
why
for
you
the,
should get two.
I should wait for the mini. The apparently there's going to be a mini. Get this. There's going to be a mini Switch.
What?
Yeah. There's going to be called a Switch Mini.
You're lying.
No, not lying.
It's got smaller buttons.
You are lying.
I'm not lying. Swear to God.
Now you have to go get it.
He's lying.
So you can play
it. It's got smaller cartridges.
Do they taste as good as the original?
Delicious.
And last but certainly not least.
They go really good with nut.
Okay.
Banana!
Okay, we need to stop talking about European chocolate treats, okay? And let's stick to
what he
we
said
know
is that. Actually dirtier than what Todd
no,
said.
No, it's not.
European chocolate treats.
Yeah. But let me introduce the last guy on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, he is our chairman of the comic book board. He's the man who owns Maui Comics and Collectibles at 333 Dairy Road in Kahului. Who also does the comic book list every single
Witness
week.
Me.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the one,
Witness
the
me
man, the Mac Daddy himself, What's Daddy that? Leaks, no. is in the house.
Yeah. Daddy Leaks!
Daddy Leaks!
I'm actually a father now, so it shouldn't be a shame. I'm like, I am Daddy Leaks, actually.
You are Daddy Leaks.
I'm sorry.
Daddy Leaks in the house.
I'll
Alika
own it.
Is in the house
So how
tonight.
Did you buy those off-brand ones?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I swear I just saw Silverhawks doing it on the TV.
Well, ladies
it's
and
what
gentlemen.
What happens when you eat European chocolate treats?
Nerds and lady nerds.
That's the name of this pod.
What's that?
European chocolate treats.
European chocolate treats. Okay. Nerds and lady nerds. We guys want we'll
oh, wait.
To
shout
the
out to Carl Amano for bringing the
Carl!
Homemade, homemade bakery malasadas.
Thanks for the malasadas.
The best malasadas
ever. I didn't get a malasada yet.
Official malasada of Maui Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Can we get a malasadas for
Malasadas?
Yeah.
From homemade
a malasada.
Sweets.
Yes. Nice. The way you said it.
I'm going to eat on camera now if that's okay.
All right.
Might as well.
We're all doing it.
I'm sorry.
Banana.
That's disgusting.
You're so.
Anyway, you guys can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdwatch.
Malasadas.
Follow us on Twitter at Nerdwatch Nation. Follow us on Instagram at the_ Nerdwatch. Follow us on YouTube at Nerdwatch Nation as well. And last but not least, some very exciting news tonight I wanted to let you guys know about.
Exciting news.
Is that
you're
going
to hear first.
It's happening.
The Nerd Watch.
Or you'll hear it soon. As soon as he's done saying it.
The Nerd Watch is officially part of the Stitcher family. We become partners with Stitcher.
Yes.
You can download the podcast on
Stitcher.
So if Stitcher.
You ever have injuries, we can stitch you right up.
Yeah. So check it out. Stitcher.com. You can actually download the mobile app at Stitcher.com. Just look up Nerd Watch. And guess what? Our podcast is right there. Another easy way for you guys to listen to us.
There's probably
iTunes,
too many ways for them to listen to us now.
iTunes, Audio Boom, and now Stitcher.
It takes them 20 minutes to recite how many ways that they can listen.
Yeah,
to
that's how it happens, my
that's
friend.
Amazing.
And last but certainly not least,
we need a third pod just to show how they can listen to us.
We have a pod just about all the ways you can hear us.
Hear us, yeah. You guys can also donate to the podcast at patreon.com/thenerdwatch and give to a podcast here in the islands if you feel so compelled to as well. It'd
For
be
the
fantastic.
Record, you can also stop into Maui Comics and just drop off money.
That's true,
too. We will accept that as well.
It'll totally get to the podcast.
Sure it will.
Money, used underwear, food, whatever you guys want.
Yeah, whatever you guys want, it's
Please
all
don't
here.
Drop the used underwear.
So, check it out.
Do you want underwear, kind of?
No, stop.
I'm saying they can. I'm not saying I want it.
So we thank you guys so much for listening. We thank you guys so much for joining us on Facebook Live. You guys can, of course, ask us any questions you like on our Facebook Live chat while we're going.
Oh, I should probably open it.
Okay, so that's why you always watch us live. Ask any questions you like or any comments. We'll take a look at them and we'll peruse them. Anyway, gentlemen. We are missing Cynthia tonight. She's not feeling too well, so sadly she's not in attendance.
Wait till you get those papers, Jay, I'm telling you.
But that's okay.
You are done, son.
I know. I just want to say that we're thinking about you, and we'll see you back here next week.
She's going to sue you out of existence.
I'm sure she will. Before we get into any news tonight, let's get into some comic books, shall we? It is Tuesday, so that means it is 20% off Tuesday here at Maui Comics and Collectibles at 333 Dairy Road in Kahului. And that means tomorrow is 20% off Tuesday here at Maui.
That was today.
That was today.
Excuse me. It is New Comic Book Wednesday tomorrow here at 333 Dairy Road in Kahului. Amy's in the house. What's up? So let's get right to it. The one and only Alika, Daddy Leaks. Why don't you do a little leaking yourself and leak out some comic book titles?
How is that better than Nutcum?
Banana.
You need to stop saying that.
We got to leak out the chocolate treats. 333
Dairy Road in Kahului, the best in mainstream and independent comics.
Big Papa Leaks.
Let's find out what is happening this week in comic books at 333 Dairy Road in Kahului. Daddy Leaks, take it away.
What? Daddy, he's Daddy Long.
We should add up all of your pauses to see how much time you chew up.
So, I just want to mention that we have the Hawaii Retro Gamers also here in the room tonight.
Oh, yes.
We've been throwing some events with and doing retro games. And I don't think we talk enough about retro games on this show.
Well.
So there.
Okay, well get into the comic book
list. Retro games are fake.
No, wrestling's fake. Retro games are real.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah.
If you can touch
yes,
it,
a pixelated
real.
Plumber.
You can touch wrestlers.
That's right.
How retro are we talking?
Yeah.
I don't.
Paper and pencil.
I'm talking iron hoop with a stick retro.
Here at the Nerd Watch, we don't want to associate with, like I said, off the air LAN party losers or D&D dorks. Okay.
Whoa, no, look. The preferred nomenclature is dice chucker.
Dice chuckers. That's it.
I just want to point out that, that Silent Sean is in the frame.
Yeah, I know he is. It's fine.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure we do that.
Off to your left, if you're watching, Silent Sean is in the house. And if you're wondering why he's moving
Chinese
his head
George
back and
Clooney.
Forth, it's because he's lunging off camera. So check that out as well, if you feel so compelled to. But let's get to the comics, shall we?
So all right.
Get the
show so I'm going to start off with DC Comics.
All right.
What does DC stand for?
I'd stop.
Okay.
District of Columbia.
Yes. Action Comics, number 985, published by the District of Columbia.
DC stands
for Girl and the Birds of Prey, number 13.
Dot comics, brah.
You should be DCB then.
Yeah, dot comics, brah.
That's got to be the Maui Comics, like, comic book comic. Imprint.
Nice.
DCB.
Hal Jordan, we won't get sued. Hal Jordan, the Green Lanterns, 26. Harley Quinn, number 25. Justice League of America, 12. Mr. Miracle, number 1 of 12. New Superman, number 14. That's the Chinese Superman, Sean.
Yeah!
He's the Chinese George Clooney.
He's Sean Mohan, Chinaman.
Well, he's saying that it's about time he has a hero just for him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because he's not allowed to like our Superman.
Can't be all Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee for him.
That's right.
you stick to
what
the Chinese
you,
Superman.
What do you mean, our Superman?
Yours?
You know.
You know, me and you? Like our Superman?
It could be our
Crackers.
Superman.
That's right. He's gotta remember, though, he's Sean Mohan. Chinaman.
That's how you say it.
Have we said that in a while? I feel like
it's been a while.
That's his intro.
It's been a while. That's what it is now.
It's not complete without the karate
chops.
Yeah,
it's not. He added the karate chops.
Scoop Apocalypse, number 16. The Shadow, number 1.
Uh-huh.
I don't even know. Oh, Suicide Squad, number 23. God, I scribbled that
one. The Shadow?
The Shadow. They're rebringing that. Kaluta is working on it.
Oh.
He's an appropriate artist for that title.
Cool.
I can dig it.
For Marvel, we got All New Wolverine, number 23. Amazing Spider-Man, 31. Captain America, 25.
Deadpool.
Is that Captain America? I'm assuming it is.
This is Steve Rogers.
Right, but
it's the one that everybody hates. That's a Nazi right
now. Yeah,
okay, he's
love
a secret empire. So it's a secret empire.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah. The one that everybody hates.
The story
is your favorite
behind
one.
That is so cool.
Yeah, but it's all about. I get frustrated with time swapping and like they went back in time and he's really like bad and something happened and I don't know.
Wait, that's what
the
it
cosmic
is?
Cube.
Yeah,
something happened. Yeah, the cosmic cube altered a timeline
because he's old, right?
Right.
And then the cosmic cube became. Reverted back to his youth. And when he did that, he remembered that he started out in Hydra.
What?
Yeah, he was a, like a sleeper agent.
Wait a minute.
And like his best buddy, like you would think it would be Bucky. It's actually Baron Zemo.
That is sick.
Right?
That's pretty sick.
So good.
But you know... I mean, these altered timelines kind of do work with Captain America, and because you're so familiar with the character, because in the first part of Standoff, there's a one-shot about, it was called like Silent Hill or Standing Hill or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And you meet all these guys, and they're in this weird prison complex kind of thing, and they're all, you know, talking amongst themselves, and you don't know who any of them really are, you just have a feeling about it. And at the end of the story, the guy who you're most sympathetic with, who you thought was like Bucky or Cap or somebody, actually turned out to be Zemo.
Yeah.
And so it was like kind of twisted all your expectations and everything.
Now I know why. Now this is why I know why Todd has such disdain for Marvel Comics. This is why.
I like it. I personally dig it because from a writing standpoint, it's so convoluted and so twisted and the amount of detail that's worked into it.
Mm.
But if you have a plot hole, though, the story's
crazy.
Really going to suffer for it if you miss even like one small detail.
But,
right.
But the exciting part is that if you look back, because this is still the same Steve Rogers from back in Civil War II.
Okay.
Everything that Steve Rogers did, Captain America did during that story arc, is all after he was reverted back to Hydra Steve Rogers.
That son of a...
So he's been manipulating from behind the scenes since way back.
So he relinquished...
Wow.
Well, no, because... So that doesn't make sense because actually before Civil War II, Steve Rogers died and then Falcon became Cap.
Right.
And then he's
and
back.
And then that would have been it. But then they brought him back.
Mm.
And then they reverted him to his youth where he remembered that he's actually a Hydra agent. And everything started... Like, the reason why Captain Marvel and all them are stuck outside of the Earth is because of Captain America.
And then people started burning comics.
First of all, this is the Nerd Watch, not Comic Book Men. So what else is on that friggin'
all
list?
Right. I don't know
you
the
You mean
difference.
More comics yeah. over here on sure. this list? Okay.
Non-comic guy. Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe, 305.
No, it's called Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe.
Again.
Again, thank you.
No, you're supposed to say again, like, again.
Again, yeah.
Defenders, number four.
Number four.
Edge of the Venomverse, number 405.
405.
Where all the different Venoms that ever existed or could ever exist meet each other.
I like it.
Not for nothing, but I ended up watching, not on purpose, I ended up watching the first
Jim two. The Holograms.
No, I have that at home, by the way. It's on my DVR.
The movie.
It's truly, truly, truly outrageous.
It is absolutely outrageous. What is outrageous is I watched the first two Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies. Uh-huh.
And fell in love all over again?
They don't hold up anymore.
They don't. I was shocked. I was like, I was watching it.
It's weird because they're not that old.
They're not that old.
I watched the second one.
The second one's still good.
It is. The second one's good.
It's weirdly overly sentimental, I think, is what it is.
I like that. Yeah. That's what I like about
Spider-Man. No, I'm not saying it's bad, but like it's weird how dated it feels already.
It's weird that the only part that I find that is remotely
well, when your soundtrack
good,
is when Nickelback was still socially acceptable.
That doesn't.
Oh, well, that was the time.
I wasn't even gonna pick on that.
Or even if Danny Elfman is socially still acceptable in that era.
You know, what'd be awesome is if Tobey Maguire or Spider-Man really was from Hydra.
Jeez, let's not do that.
The Cosmic
good
Cube made him
Lord.
Remember.
I know,
right? Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man is actually Ben Reilly. He's the clone.
He's the clone.
Oh, so pretty awesome. I love Ben Reilly.
But yeah, I'm with Format. I mean, I'm with Gannon on this. That I don't think that it holds up as well as I thought it did.
The second one is still great.
The second one is still good.
It's like the Nolan Batmans. I'll only watch the second one.
You can't push that down and lean forward.
The first half of it is really good.
It's
called physics.
Yeah, I'm trying.
Weak baby hands.
I do have. I have very sensitive weak baby hands.
Have you ever worked a day in your life? Let me do that for you.
So G.
Yes, sir.
What if?
Yes, sir.
What if
Spider-Man was not good from the moment it was first released, and people were so excited to see a Spider-Man movie finally that they just convinced themselves that it was good at the time.
Like when Phantom Menace came out.
And it took all this time to realize it was never a good movie. Can I reveal something? Because when I first saw Spider-Man back in, 2002?
Something like that.
I thought it was crap. I never liked it, ever.
Wow, interesting. That's fascinating.
I think Spider-Man 2 is good.
Spider-Man 2 is good.
You know, I still think it's good.
And if there was any hope for the series,
this was with Andrew Garfield.
Right. It was with Andrew Garfield, and that got wiped away. And then no one remembers the greatest Spider-Man movie.
They really should just reboot it again.
They turned Peter Parker into a skateboard dude, mm-hmm. though. That kind of...
Well,
reboot it again, have Peter Parker be Chinese.
All the potential...
Oh!
Sold!
Chinese
there.
Peter Parker!
I'm sorry.
I'm totally in.
Don't
I'm totally
do that.
In. I'm totally
you
in.
You have to change his name to Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Oh, snap!
That's what you got to do. Anyway, is there any more?
No. He's adopted from China, so
what?
It could still be Parker.
I guess.
Opportunity missed.
He's a crazy parkour guy, and his name is Peter Parkour.
Peter Parkour.
What?
And he's got six San Franciscan Asian
style. And Uncle
Ben
is sticky rice this time.
Would you like to know something?
It's a San Francisco treat, man.
You know what's funny? It's as if we're sitting in a Marvel in a Marvel idea meeting right now.
There is
now.
Not enough.
Only these ideas are good.
A Marvel ideas meeting.
That's true.
Somebody sat in a meeting once.
Sony, hire us. We can fix your entire cinematic universe.
Anyway, what other comics are on board there?
Generations, Phoenix and Jean Grey, number one.
Ooh.
They're doing the Generations series now. Hulk number 9, which is actually She-Hulk.
Ooh.
Inhuman. Inhumans, the Once and Future King, number 105.
Okay, cool.
She's green everywhere except for where she's pink.
Stop it.
Where's
old
that?
Stop, Todd.
I was talking about her.
Old Man Logan, number 27.
Thank you.
Number 27.
Thank you.
Rocket, number 4.
Number 4.
He's furry.
Star Wars Doctor Aphra, number 11.
Number 11.
Star Wars Cassian K2SO Special, number 1.
Number 1. Lots of numbers.
Okay. That's good.
Centipede, number 2.
Ooh.
Not to be confused with Human Centipede.
The game, right? The game?
The game? Okay,
yes,
good.
Yes, the video game, the Atari game, yes. Centipede.
Good, so good, good, good.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that.
You guys ever played Human Centipede for Atari?
Oh, no.
It's delicious.
I didn't even know that was released. I had no idea.
Yeah, the breakfast cereal was incredible.
Wow.
European chocolate treats.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it was just a box full of chocolate donuts.
Yeah.
Crew.
You guys are disgusting.
The gods, number two.
Oh, my gosh.
Can't Heavy believe. Metal 287. Heavy Metal Magazine. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Independence now.
He's on Independence.
Yeah, pay attention.
I started with Human Centipede. Judge Dredd, Blessed Earth, number four.
Big news. Carl Urban is coming back.
Carl Urban, who cares?
What?
Give me Stallone.
That's not for sure yet.
I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Bring me Stallone and Armand Asante.
I would take Stallone as well. I would.
You know how G works? Everything works. It's all headlines. It's all headlines.
It's all headlines.
You want your Judge Dredd to be in his 70s?
I wouldn't mind.
Is Stallone in his 70s?
He's late 60s.
Late 60s.
No, he's in his 70s.
But so is Judge Dredd.
No.
He is in his 70s.
All right, somebody look it up.
Powerpuff Girls, number three.
Number three!
Redlands, number one.
Number one of what?
Number one. Redlands. Redlands. It's an Image comic.
Oh.
Todd. But you're excited about that.
I want to learn more about
and,
that.
And finally, we're getting the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Artisan Hardcover, which is a reprint of the first issue, which is definitely going to be a collector's item.
Oh, sweet.
Every time they re-release the first print, and this is going to be a special oversized edition where you see the artist proofs. These are going to go quickly.
Okay.
Because I'm taking one.
Sylvester Stallone is 71.
71,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah,
man,
give me Stallone as Dredd, man.
Well, listen, since we're talking about, right before we...
Old Man Dredd.
Yes!
That would be sick.
He can be Judge Death because he's so close to death's door.
So, Todd, before we get off the comic book thing... comic book train. What are you what you working on there? What you drawing?
The comic
why don't you show
book
everybody?
He's drawing naked pictures of you. I'm drawing a page from Kukui Project issue 9.
Issue number 9?
Can you guys see it?
And all of its great blankness.
You guys can all see it, right?
Nice. I've never seen so many folds on one of those before.
So Todd is working on Kukui Project.
Greg's cheeks just right.
I'm assuming getting ready for Amazing Hawaii Comic Con.
It's so veiny.
Yeah, fantastic.
Amazing Hawaii Comic Con?
Yes. 20, and, what?
The 25th, 26th, and 27th. That's
yes.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
That's good.
And the Tuesday before, you guys... congratulations, I probably didn't tell you already, is you've got an exclusive interview with David Michelinie.
David Michelinie?
On Tuesday, August 22nd.
The writer of Spider-Man?
Yes, that's our lead up to Amazing Hawaii Comic Con.
All right.
David Michelinie.
He's a guest there, right?
The Marvel Comics writer. Yeah, he's going to be at
he's
the Amazing
here,
Hawaii Comic Con. He's going to be here on Maui.
What?
He's going to do an in-store signing August 22nd.
What?
5 o'clock to about 7:30. And then directly afterwards, he's going to be on the Nerd Watch.
Fantastic.
What? The creator of Venom.
I
the man who's responsible for Tobey Maguire in a black costume. No, just kidding.
All right, just make sure to... Make
now
sure.
He's not going
to
do the show. Way to go.
He's mad
they know
now.
About that?
He's
no.
Watching. He's like, oh, no.
Right. Just make so sure I insult his sensibilities and tell him he's an artist as opposed to a writer.
Oh, yeah, so you can that. Really insult him.
Yeah, really insult him. Anyway,
yeah.
333 Jerry Rhodes.
He was responsible for the longest run on Amazing Spider-Man aside from Stan Lee. He
really?
Did almost 100 issues of Amazing Spider-Man.
Didn't Mark Bagley break that, though?
Huh?
Didn't Mark Bagley break that?
Regular continuity Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh,
Bagley
okay.
Bagley did Ultimates, which is 100. I think it went
100
issues.
He went almost 130, I think.
No, so I think... Oh, 100. But I don't think he did all of them.
Bagley?
Yeah. Did he do all of Ultimate?
From Ultimate Spider-Man 1 all the way to, I think it was 129, I think.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Well, the longest regular continuity Spider-Man.
Regular
Bagley
continuity,
did
sure.
not do that long on Amazing
can
Spider-Man.
Can I ask you all a question,
no.
Todd? Can you cover your ears really quick?
They're nerding out.
Should Todd be on the Nerd Watch interview with David?
If he knows any... I mean, he seems to know... So, if you know anything about Silver and Bronze Age Marvel, he is responsible for some of the most iconic storylines of that time.
Well...
Including the creation of Scott Lang, Ant-Man,
all
Demon in the Bottle,
at least
Man
a couple
story.
Of good ones.
All I'm saying is that's a writer.
Do you mean, is Todd too much of a douchebag to be here?
I didn't say that. That's not what I said.
Is that what you're asking me, though?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking you.
This is my last show.
Every week is your last show.
Every week is your last show. I just
but you know, I always come back for the
You abuse.
I love
for the European
for the allergies.
If only you knew where they came from.
That's it. That's the name of the show. Yeah. By the way, you guys can pick up all those comics at 333.
No, forget, then he comes up with something else.
333 Dairy Road in Kahului. We're so we're very happy to have David Michelin be on the show.
Thank you to Amy Tokuda, who helped set that up, and Daniel Brown of Chihu Books.
Amy said, yep, Todd should be there, and DJ told me I gotta do my homework.
He also said Isaac's gotta go earlier.
Yeah, he did.
DJ said that.
Yeah, he did. I think because Isaac said he didn't like Spider-Man 1.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. But anyway, pick up your comics here at 333 Dairy Road in Kahului. It's My Comics and Collectibles. Now, before we get into any more news, I guess let you guys know that coming up this Saturday, 8 o'clock, Playmakers in Wailuku, Lower Main Street.
It's a place.
It's Nerdwatch Trivia Night. You guys are going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be...
It's in between a Korean bar and another Korean bar.
Yes. It's the one that isn't a Korean bar right on Lower Main. Playmakers... in
you can show up to Homemade Bakery and be like, what's going on?
You guys can buy Todd watered down shots for $40 a piece.
So make sure you guys...
But he can't promise anything will happen.
Make sure you guys come on down. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I can promise.
Yeah. Bring your nerd brains with you. We can talk about movies, games, television, and the like. So make sure you guys come prepared. We're going to set up for teams. You guys can register there at Playmakers with us that night. So be there, 8 o'clock, Playmakers on Lower Main Street in Wailuku. It's going to be a lot of fun. We already got people saying they're going, so I can't wait.
And some of them aren't even in this room.
Are they liars?
Yes, they may be liars, but yes, they may be going as well.
Now they're definitely not coming.
Well, anyway.
We don't want them if they're liars.
That's right. So now, if you can believe it, we have 25 minutes left. So...
Can we do the introductions again?
25 minutes.
And aloha.
Aloha. No, I do want to get to a couple of stories that kind of showed up on our radar. But first, what I do want to talk about is that Dark Tower hit theaters this weekend. And not only that, it also hit theaters with some very questionably negative reviews from critics. That's because... because Gannon's here, so he's going to answer some of these questions.
I'm the only one that saw this movie.
You are. Yeah. So both critics and
tell you how good it is.
Critics,
I feel pressured now.
Critics and audiences alike don't like this movie, especially those that have read the books. So
that's why I kind of feel bad criticizing, because I don't have any gauge to compare it to.
You shouldn't though. You should just judge it as a movie.
I read the first. Three books. I read the first three books.
There's only two books.
You can read?
No, there's more than that. I know that for sure. There's like eight or nine books. But yeah,
there's like one book, but because Stephen King's like 1,000 pages.
Yeah, freaking ridiculous. But anyway, Dark Tower, Idris Elba, Matthew McConaughey, and some kid.
It's that kid that
that's
was
that's basically
ED.
The cast, because they're the only two names you're going to know. I mean, Jackie Earle Haley's there.
Ooh.
But he's not a really big name, so, okay. I mean, you'll recognize him if you know his work. But.
Freddy Krueger.
Is that?
No.
Rorschach? Jackie Earle Haley is Rorschach, right?
Rorschach as well, yes. Yeah.
He's Rorschach.
Okay. Sorry. He's
that's
also,
it.
He's, sorry.
He's Kelly Leak. He was I can't remember this character's name, but Little Children. He was acting really
good.
He was
great in Little Children.
Little
great
Children's
movie.
A great little movie. Undiscovered gem.
Absolutely. That's with Kate Winslet and
that
Luke
still...
Wilson. Not Luke Wilson. What's his name?
Owen Wilson.
Patrick Wilson, yes.
Owen Wilson?
That'd be such a different movie with Luke Wilson.
Luke Wilson and Owen Wilson.
That would be awesome.
Wow.
But I'm sorry, I didn't know
Jackie Earle Haley
as Chan. Freddy Krueger touched
Chan,
the nerve.
Yes.
I didn't know that touched the nerve.
Especially with me.
Wow, it's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, so
nothing against Jackie Earle Haley, but that movie sucks.
For sure, I agree with you. So what'd you think of Dark Tower, Stephen King's Dark Tower?
It's not called Stephen King's Dark Tower.
I know.
Not as a film.
Well, how was the adaptation?
I don't know. It's got a strange tone, because you're never sure if it's supposed to be like a kid's film or if it's supposed to be more of a mature film for, you know, the 18 to 35 demographic.
It is PG-13, right?
It's PG-13, but the way the movie comes across is like it almost kind of feels like it's trying to be a PG kids adventure film. And it's not. It kind of feels like it's trying to be that, but trying to be this other sophisticated film for an older audience. And some of it's not bad. Some of it, I don't know. Even not knowing the book, it feels like stuff is just watered down because it brings up really cool ideas. It has really cool things, like mythology-wise, going for it. It'll strike you, and again, it's not from reading the book. It seems like it's a cross between Gunslingers, Star Wars, and Lord of the Rings.
Ooh.
It's got that feel to it.
That sounds awesome.
If it's done well, it's awesome, and I'm sure the book does that well. But the movie just seems like it's zipping through all that stuff to keep it simple to where you can follow it.
Yeah, it did. I will say that.
And nobody's terrible in the movie. Idris Elba's great. Matthew McConaughey's great. The kid's pretty good.
I had a problem because, I mean, as far as the books go, the first one was compelling. The second one was a little and the third one was really starting to move along. So I never had the opportunity to just read the other books. But from what I understand is that they tried to adapt almost the first five books into this one movie.
It feels cobbled together. Like, a lot of concepts are brought up in the first film for what's obviously more of a mythology.
Right. You didn't see it, right, G?
I did not. I only read the first three books.
But I'm just wondering, because as someone that has read the books, or the first three anyway, if you would still feel like it's, you know, a bunch of stories cobbled together.
And that's what I'm curious about, because people that I know that have read the book said that it's like they're pulling from different ideas and different stories from like five of the books, five books. So I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting. I mean, but that also makes it nonsensical, because the problem is that it's such a...
It would be like if you took the three Lord of the Rings films and turned them into one film.
There's
too much ground to cover.
It's a rich story, that's why. The Gunslinger storyline is rich, and it's probably...
You want to give it more time to breathe.
Absolutely.
I would actually enjoy that movie, yes.
Yeah, and I think...
The Lord of the Rings all in one movie? Yeah. It'd be the shortest walk
the
ever.
90-minute cut. That'd be awesome.
Where they just call the bird to come pick them up.
Yeah, right?
That'd be awesome.
When he said "fly, you fools," that's what he meant.
I know I've heard this before.
Yes.
But again, I've never read the book. How?
Yes.
This movie has ties to all the other Stephen King books.
Yes.
And it's
it does.
Yeah, it's actually that's actually one of the things I did like about it. Like, they're going after all these kids to power this machine in order to destroy the Dark Tower.
What?
And these kids have what's called the Shine.
Like The Shining.
Yeah, exactly. What? And I was just like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like,
like that.
Yeah.
And I thought it was like, you know, they're going to go find the shopkeeper of Needful Things. And
well, I mean, somebody told me that in one of the books, they have to rescue Stephen King himself and protect him from the monsters.
Yeah, he's
like,
he does,
it literally breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah, something like that. I've heard that as well. So I'm going to take that as
so. Yeah, I mean, I can't speak in any kind of knowing place from the story, but
Was it a confusing movie? Was it hard to follow?
No, I mean, it's very streamlined. It's very easy to follow, but it feels like it's trying to set up this mythology for you to see it, but it's covering so much ground so quickly that the stuff that you really want to see them let breathe, they don't really give you that space.
Right.
And it's a short movie, too. Like, I think it clocked in under 2 hours, didn't it?
Jeez, yeah, that's what I heard, too.
Is it fun?
Idris Elba doesn't make it fun. His character drags it down, even despite the fact he's doing a good job of that character, because the movie feels like it's trying to be a fun adventure film, but his character is the Dirty Harry type.
See, that almost...
So there's never any swashbuckling type of adventure what's going on, because he's playing the typical gunslinger, I'm out for vengeance.
That makes the trailer kind of misleading.
That character's great, but... It plays at odds with what I think they're trying to make the movie turn into. It feels like it was edited to be that way.
Mm.
I have a sneaky suspicion the movie that wasn't originally intended, or at least on paper, is not the movie that eventually came out. I feel like the movie was definitely edited down to be more... to make it easier to chew into.
Right. Well, there's so many... Look, I understand that Stephen King's novels and his thoughts and ideas and his plots need to be cut down.
He hasn't endorsed this movie.
No, he hasn't.
He hasn't said anything positive or negative about it.
But here's the thing. He really hasn't endorsed... He hasn't endorsed It, which is coming out in September.
I don't think he's seen it yet either.
But the fact of the matter is, I understand as a reader that you have to cut down these stories. I get that. It is it's a 1,000-plus page novel, and I know that you can't fit all those concepts and ideas in, and you have to pick the best ones. I get that. But I mean, Dark Tower is so rich that the journey is the story. The where you end up in the Dark Tower is not what's important. I mean, at least for me, because I haven't finished it. But the journey is what makes the movie so, or the books so fun. So I don't know. I'm kind of disappointed that it.
The movie just falls flat. It's not a bad movie. It's,
bummer.
The action's pretty decent. The performances are decent. The ideas in it are pretty decent. But something about the way it's done, it just falls flat.
It's weird.
It's not terrible.
It's weird,
but
that
it's
Stephen.
Not good either.
It's weird that
they
Stephen King.
More walking.
It's strange that Stephen King books are so good, but yet the translation to film is just never quite right.
I think it's because when he writes his books, he really gives time for everything
yes,
to breathe.
He does.
He doesn't just throw out a concept to have a background. Yeah. He really fills in the spaces.
He does, and there are a few exceptions.
A lot of time, sometimes that's to his detriment, where he spends a little too much time on stuff.
Right.
They need to stick to like translating or adapting his like short stories.
Yeah, I agree. But see, ironically enough, even his short stories
those are sometimes the ones that turn out better.
Better, right? Exactly. Because I mean,
The Mist is a great movie.
The Mist is a good movie.
And then Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank Redemption is fantastic. That's good.
And it's weird because that's one of those movies that everybody talks about, but nobody ever really talks about as a Stephen King story.
Misery was another decent one. Misery's
that's
a great movie.
That's a novel, though. That's not a short story.
Oh, I can't wait. That's going to be awesome. What's that?
Misery's a novel. It's not a short story.
No, it's not. But we're saying is in Stephen King, there are very few movies that are great. Dolores Claiborne is another one that's actually fairly good.
I didn't even know he did that one.
Oh, yeah. That was him. That was his book. So, I don't know. Stephen King
Man, that guy writes too much.
He does. But then again, you have clunkers like Graveyard Shift, and you have clunkers like Sleepwalkers, and then you have... You know, and then you have those Stephen.
Was Stephen King Cat's Eye as well?
Yes,
yeah. Cat's I like Eye. Cat's Eye.
But those were that was a collection
yeah,
of his short stories.
Yeah,
that was a collection
so
of his short stories.
Oh, it's part of a
Creepshow.
Oh, yeah, Creepshow was great.
Creepshow was Stephen King, George
yeah,
Romero.
Yeah, Creepshow 1, yeah.
Yeah,
the first Creepshow.
The first Creepshow. Although I do have a,
Wait,
I do
you
have
saying
a
that you didn't like the second Creepshow?
No.
Creepshow
2 is all right.
I do too.
The second Creepshow.
I
love it
as
more
well.
Than the first.
I do as well.
I'm a big Creepshow 2 fan as well.
Yeah. I got.
I think we're the generation of people who tell people thanks for the ride, lady.
Yeah, we are.
I think the interstitials for Creepshow 1 were done better though.
No, I agree. And it felt like a comic book movie.
Yeah.
Like that's what I liked about Creepshow.
And
anyway,
Creepshow 1 actually had a comic that came out with it, which you picked up a recreation.
Right.
The reprint.
It's sad to know that Dark Tower was not taken better care of, considering the monumentous...
I think the studio had been developing it for so long and had gone through so many different people trying to make it that I think they reached that point where they're like, they were just going to make it at this point because there's all this interest in seeing the product.
Right. And I'm guessing
Ron Howard was going to do it.
Yes.
He had this whole long-form idea of doing film first, television series to fill out the rest of the story, and then come back and do the second film as the end of the series.
I would have liked to have seen that.
I don't know if it would have worked.
I think it worked better now.
It might.
Let's
but,
be honest. As hokey
it's,
as
it's never been done before.
As hokey,
so it could go either way.
As hokey as the Langoliers are, that was for television, starring Branch and Pitcho. That's a great television.
I would actually
series.
Want to see that
that's
one redone.
Pitcho started that.
Yeah.
Now I need to see it.
That was a great
Langoliers is great.
He was like a coked out crazy dude.
Yeah, he was. And so is.
So he was playing Branch and Pitcho.
Yeah,
so is The Stand. The Stand is really good. The television show from
was
the 90s.
Pitcho in that.
Rob Lowe is in that.
Then I don't care about it.
And he doesn't have. I don't think he has any lines. In that movie.
You love your Perfect Strangers, don't you?
He was a mute. Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. They were talking about how the Man in Black and Dark Tower is possibly also the devil in the Stand.
Yeah, that's. I don't even want to get into that, but yeah, that would be weird. I just think that.
I don't know. I mean, it'd be kind of cool to have a shared universe in for Stephen King. I mean, they're already kind of doing that with that TV show J.J. Abrams is producing.
Right. What is it called? Newcastle? What is it called?
Castle Rock.
It's like when all the Mack trucks come to life and one of them has a Green Goblin face and then.
You're joking, but they might do it.
For as much crap as that movie gets, I think that is a great story.
That's the one he directed.
That is the one he directed.
And,
the only
and then
one.
A little kid comes I in think, with The Shining and mind controls all the trucks.
Did he direct that one? No, I think
it's the only thing he directed. He directed that one.
Wasn't Nick Garris on that, though?
And then Pennywise comes
in. Maximum Overdrive was, you don't even have to look it up, it was directed by Stephen King.
Right, no, but yes. What I'm saying is that I know it was directed by him, but Nick Garris was, didn't he help write the script for that, the screenplay?
No,
that?
I believe no? It's written and directed by Stephen King.
Stephen King?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's based on the story Trucks by the short story collection Night Shift.
Night Shift.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
What I love Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah, I love Maximum Overdrive. I think
I
it's
like
a great
Cars
movie.
Too.
Emilio.
Emilio Estevez.
Emilio.
That's where I learned the word bullpucky.
Emilio.
I learned the word bullpucky from Maximum Overdrive.
That's not a word, you know.
I know it's not. Don't you remember that?
I think that's actually a European chocolate treat.
It could be.
Bullpucky.
My favorite thing in the Maximum Overdrive is when the kids... Where the coach gets nailed with the coke
so, with the
can in the head. Oh
with
my
the
god,
bull bucky.
That was awesome,
hilarious.
Yeah, I love Maximum Overdrive. I don't think there's not many people that
whole about scene is great. A bulldozer crushes a child.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
What?
Yes,
that is great.
Oh
it
man, don't you
awesome.
Miss when they used to kill kids? In
yeah,
movies?
I
man.
Know. Yeah, they used to do that.
Now it's the 2017s, and we're so PC now.
Can't even let a dog get killed on camera anymore.
Not
what
anymore.
Are you talking about, Watchmen?
That's true.
That is true.
That's true.
He destroyed that
David
dog.
That was a story made and set in the 80s, so they had to, like, you know, they had to...
Let's 80s this up. Let's kill a dog.
They did. That's exactly what they did.
Killing a kid.
All right. Well, getting back to the point, Dark Tower, where would you put it? Should we watch it in the theater? Should we wait? What should we do?
I have a hard time because, like, it's a decent enough watch, and you know, I like seeing stuff of Idris Elba in it, and Matthew McConaughey, like I said, it's fun in it, but it's... I don't think I could recommend it.
But when it comes out on Blu-ray, are you going to buy it?
I'm not going to pick it up, no.
Are you going to Redbox it?
I mean, if there's an unrated or director's cut that comes out for it, I'll give it another chance then.
Or, just,
it's got another, like, 50 minutes in it or something.
Are you going to Blockbuster it?
Yes, I'm going to Blockbuster
Sweet.
It. I didn't even know there was another Blockbuster. Did you see about this?
The last internet? Blockbuster
there,
is a Twitter
There's still
account.
A Blockbuster out there.
What?
There's another Blockbuster out there.
There's like five in Texas and two in Alaska.
Really?
That's
I thought
incredible.
They shut them all down.
No, no. There's like, they were, because there was the franchises and then there were the corporate stores.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so the franchises are the last ones to
right.
go.
Right. The Blockbuster that's getting the most attention is the
last Blockbuster.
On Twitter, yeah. That's the one that's getting
that's
the most
That's a joke
attention.
Account, though, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure.
No, I think they're running it.
Are they really?
I think they're running
it. It's smart if they are.
One of their tweets was like, please stop sending us pictures of closed down Blockbusters. That would be like us sending you pictures of your dead grandparents.
I like them.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
They are funny.
That's pretty good, actually. I like that.
Well, speaking of video stores, mm-hmm. Paradise Video mm-hmm. had the cover story on the Maui Time Weekly.
That was actually really dope.
Article by Barry Wurst.
That was so cool.
Yeah.
Shout out to Paradise Video.
Shout
Barry
out to
the last video store on Maui.
Yeah, yeah.
This is one of those
It's the only good thing he's written.
There was another video store in Wailuku that's gone. Not from Paradise. I don't know what the name of it is.
I think Paradise Video is the only one.
Wow.
Because Paradise Video had one in Pukualani.
They moved around
like
a lot.
At
one point, there's three or four.
There was a bunch of Paradise Videos, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There was
one
in Pukualani that closed down.
The store that I'm referencing wasn't Paradise. There was another video store semi-recently.
You're talking about Alpha on Lower Main Street. That closed a while ago.
Yeah.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Quite a while.
Crazy. Well,
they had videos behind that one beaded curtain.
Yeah, it's one of the good video stores.
What I refer to as the
beaded
curtain of shame.
Which is totally different.
Paradise Video a beaded curtain?
Beaded curtain of shame, for sure. Guaranteed.
Bearded curtain.
Beaded.
Bearded curtain.
Beaded curtain of shame, for sure. Yes, Barry Wurst did a great article.
I can see
article.
Sean's bearded curtain.
Barry Wurst did do a great article about Paradise Video. Barry Wurst will be joining the show, by the way, to do a summer year-end movie review.
We should ask him
preview.
To join the cast.
That kid's going places.
Yeah, he is. He's amazing.
I want to keep it classy just because he's going to be here.
Keep it classy. Professor Barry will be on the show talking about the summer movie wrap-up and, of course, fall movie preview.
Is summer officially over for films?
Pretty much.
August is still going.
Here's the thing is that because of what came out this past week was Dark Tower. That was the last big movie, and then Detroit came out. This weekend,
the Annabelle Creation.
Creation is this week.
What's
and
next week?
And the week after that is
four. I don't know.
I don't recall, but I do know that it's a very slow August. So the next time we get a big movie is going to be in November.
Thor is November.
No, October. Blade Runner.
Oh, that's right. Blade Runner.
I was going to say
right. Blade Runner. That's right.
But no one's going to see that.
What's up? Charles in the chat. He wanted to know about Almost Paradise, and he said that's a song. That is a song. Almost Paradise is a great song.
Isn't that
song.
Also a Dana
How's
Carvey?
How's that song go, G?
Don't get me started. I'll just sing the whole
Nicolas
damn thing.
Nicolas Cage movie?
Almost Paradise.
Oh, you know what comes out this week?
What?
The Nut Job.
The Nut Job, what? Too. That's right.
Nutty by Nature.
Nutty by Nature. Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
Nut Job.
Sweet. Okay, listen. Okay, not to change subjects because.
Are you guys going to come to the Nut Job?
Stop it! It's a kid's movie. Will you knock it off? You're horrible. All right, listen.
Man.
We're going to change gears.
No, it's going to arrive.
We're going to change gears. We're here really quick. Change I want to talk about a trailer that came out. Extremely controversial. Bruce Willis. Remake of Death Wish.
Oh, I didn't watch it yet.
Unless
I watched
he's
that trailer.
Some like street thugs with a sock full of quarters, I don't want to see it.
I'm telling you what.
That'll be in there. I can guarantee you that's going to be in there.
Eli he's going to beat him with a sock full of quarters? Yes.
Eli
I'll watch
Roth
it.
Is directing. It's written by Joe Carnahan.
When I hear Eli Roth, all him is he going to like torture them and like peel off fingernails and stuff?
From what I understand, this Death
he
Wish...
He needs to branch out eventually, so I mean, it's kind of got my interest.
I'm really interested.
Nobody is as tough as Charles Bronson. Willis is a good pick, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But Charles Bronson is one tough SOB.
Willis is the best choice we got.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Charles
Maybe
Bronson's
Stacey
Death Wish.
Stacey Keach 10 years ago.
Death Wish is a movie that doesn't get a lot of...
How old is Stacey Keach?
A lot of...
He's in his 70s now, isn't he?
Oh, he can't
No,
do it,
he's not. But Death Wish doesn't get a lot of recognition, or enough recognition, I say. Because
Death Wish is bad A, man.
Yeah, it is. It's totally. It's
me
awesome.
Me and Swan had a Death Wish marathon in here. We watched 1 through 4.
Death Wish is the movie that...
Some crazy cameos, too. You got Jeff...
Right.
Foxworthy?
Jeff Foxworthy. I love how that's the first Jeff on your brain.
Jeff,
like, you know when Dave Chappelle is like, I wonder what white people are thinking. Like, there's a thought bubble above
Jeff
Todd's head.
Foxworthy?
Is Jeff Foxworthy?
Well, there's been... The irony is that there, surprisingly enough, there's been a lot of outrage because of the vigilantism in the movie.
You might be a vigilante if.
So it's a lot of...
You beat the rapist up with a sock full of quarters.
There's a lot of leftist outrage of how violent and how he's a vigilante and takes back the streets. And I'm like,
well, that's what it's about, homie.
So when Batman does it, no big deal.
Right.
Bruce Willis does it, we have a problem?
Yeah, I just don't get that either.
I'm offended when Batman does it.
Well, when Batman breaks up the bat quarters, then you can be concerned.
He does, like, swing a crate into a guy's face so hard there's a blood splatter on the wall. Watch BVS
he
again.
Guns them down.
He
oh,
guns
is it in the warehouse?
Down. Yes.
No, it was in the warehouse, right?
The warehouse scene. He literally like swings this crate.
I thought that was a little rough.
Bashes a guy into the wall. There's blood there. That is way more vicious than a sock full of quarters.
Like, yeah!
According to Carl,
granted, Batman's a little bit more fantasy, but still.
According to Carl in the Facebook live chat, Charles Bronson wasn't that tough. He died.
Oh, what?
Yeah, because he
How
died.
How dare you besmirch the name of Charlie
Charles
Bronson?
Charles Bronson would pistol whip Chuck Norris, okay? You don't tell me. Everybody's telling me these Chuck Norris is so tough jokes. Charles Bronson is tough, man.
Dude, did you know that Chuck Norris drives an ice cream truck covered in human skulls?
He does not.
Yes, he does.
No, that's like the cartoon of Chuck Norris that everybody wants to be true. Meanwhile, Charles Bronson, while he was alive, was actually beating people on the set in between takes with a sock full of quarters.
I do know this. I do know.
And the
know
way he talks, he's just like, no dice. He's just so.
I do know.
Hey,
that
we got another impression for the show.
Oh,
no,
we do, right?
That's
there.
That's not a good one. Don't.
You
I don't
no,
want
I'm, you I endorse you this.
You can be walking.
Daddy Leaks does.
Daddy Leaks
Charles
does
Bronson.
The best Charlie Bronson ever.
Do a quick improv of Christopher Walken meets Charles Bronson.
Oh, yeah, real quick. Go. Come on, Todd. I want to hear this.
Wait, Bane introduces. Charles Bronson too.
Wow. Wow. That's a whole side.
How about I beat you with a sock full of quarters? No dice.
I can't. I seriously can't right now.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm genuinely trying to, but I can't.
Anyway, Death Wish starring Bruce Willis is coming to theaters,
Death
I believe,
Wish.
In October as well.
It's going to be super disappointing, but please go watch the original Death
Wish
movies.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know why
awesome.
They called it Death Wish.
Yeah,
because
they this,
named it something else?
No. Because this is their remake. Joel Carnahan's
Samuel
remake.
Samuel L. is one of the thugs in the second movie? First movie?
Yeah, second movie. I believe
Jeff Goldblum is a thug
in the first movie.
The first movie,
yeah. So
some good cameos.
Yeah,
in
some
there.
Good stuff. I mean, and Lawrence
Fishburne.
Do they
count as cameos? No, those guys are famous.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
Do those count as cameos?
And isn't there a Wayne's brother in one of them?
I see what you're saying. They weren't famous yet.
They weren't famous yet. Do those really count as cameos?
Well,
none of those people were famous.
In hindsight, just like how Samuel L. was in I'm Gonna Get You.
I would say those are more extra guys that were hired in to be thugs that
let's
were
be
trying
fair.
To
get good screen time.
What?
They have lines.
Sure. Is that Morpheus?
Well, and they get shot in between the eyes by Charles Bronson.
Well, here's the thing. Let's be fair. Chris Pratt
Charles
is
Pratt.
In Wanted with Angelina Jolie, and he's the guy that takes the keyboard to the face.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? That's him?
Yeah.
Wow, I haven't
was
seen him in a while.
Was he Chunky Chris
Pat
back then?
Yeah, he was Chunky Chris, I think. By the way, Chuck Lawrence in the Facebook live chat says his favorite Charles Bronson movie is White Buffalo. White Buffalo is a great Charles Bronson movie.
See, I haven't seen that. I've only watched the Death Wish movies.
You never seen The Mechanic?
And I think Charles Bronson is tough as crap.
Or Mr. Majestic?
No.
Mr. Majestic is great because he's the watermelon. He's the watermelon man. And he is.
That sounds tough already.
It's
Bronson's the only guy who could be delivering watermelons and still be tough.
It's awesome. And the mechanic,
like, I'm wearing a tutu. I'm still Charles Bronson.
The Mechanic is with him and Jan Michael Vincent as two assassins. Dude.
Does he Michael down his Jans?
You never see.
Does he Vincent Michael?
You never see The Great Escape?
No.
The Great Escape is another great movie.
That's a Rick and Morty callback.
Great Escape is good. The Dirty Dozen is fantastic.
No, I need to. I am glad there's a lot of Charles Bronson movies for me to dive into.
The Great Escape is one of the best war prison.
Do you think
movies
he'll
ever.
Make a cameo in this Death Wish movie?
I'm sure he will.
His skull will, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Dirty Dozen is another great movie with Charles Bronson.
Mechanic was dope.
That's fantastic. Mechanic is dope.
That Jason Statham movie?
No. Stop it. How
Does
dare
that
you?
Mean Jason Statham was trying to be Charles Bronson? Because that
actually,
me
you know what? He's. I think
Jason
Willis
Statham
is
more.
Like the age appropriate Charles Bronson.
No,
I
think
Statham
Willis is grizzled
the
enough.
Next one.
Yeah. I think Willis should have some hair in this, though. He should have got a Bronson stash.
You know, to be fair to Bruce.
Well, he can get a stash. A Bronson stash.
I love Bruce Willis.
And, well, we heard earlier that they can CGI stashes now. So.
Yeah.
I'm no, they can CGI stashes out.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm a huge fan of the Willis. I do think that he's
yeah,
perfect.
I bet you are.
He's perfect for this role. He's perfect for this role because he is a crotchety old man. I mean,
did you say crotchety?
Yeah, a little crotchety.
What about Eastwood? What about Clint Eastwood?
Clint Eastwood would have been great too. But the problem is that
he's
Dirty
Gran
Harry.
Torino. Gran yeah. Torino was awesome.
He's Dirty
just
Harry.
Just like that stand already.
He's Harry Callahan. So you can't mix up those two genres.
Okay, so Dirty Harry meets what's his face from Death Wish. What happens?
Charles Bronson.
Dirty Harry.
Charlie Bronson.
Who do you give that one?
I would have to give that one to Harry Kelly.
All right, let's make it interesting. Let's throw in Michael Douglas for Falling Down. Now what happens?
Falling, he gets knocked out because he's a little sporadic. He's not all together there. I feel like Charlie Bronson's
all right,
got
fine, then.
The
Ivan Drago. We throw him in there.
And he just starts punching guys.
Yeah.
This is one messed up room. I'm telling you, Charles Bronson is going to emerge from that room alive.
No, the problem is that Clint Eastwood is his character.
He's a good shot, but
Peter Weller from RoboCop.
Everybody got a plan to get pistol whipped by Charles Bronson.
Well, if I had to choose, I'd definitely pick Callahan just because I love all the Dirty Harry movies.
Ed 209 from RoboCop.
He beats anything.
Ed 209 versus Charles Bronson. Not even a character from Charles Bronson.
That's
it's just
right.
Charles Bronson.
It's Charles Bronson.
Okay.
You have 20 seconds to comply.
I'll cede that one to Ed 209.
That's definitely for sure.
I don't know. If he goes downstairs, he's got him.
That's true. You ever wonder about that? How'd they get him up there?
They built him up there. That's the way I saw it.
Is that what
it was? I think the way I pictured in my mind is that when they bring him out of that room, that other room is where they built him.
Oh.
That's definitely an engineering oversight.
Yeah, I think in my mind as a child, that's the way I saw it. I don't think they ever brought him up there. I think they built him up in that room.
In the auditorium?
That's not an auditorium. They bring them into a boardroom.
And by the way,
they built them in the boardroom.
Not for nothing.
Well, but to be fair, though.
Wait, guys. Not yet. Wait outside.
To be fair, though, like, at the end of the movie, there is one downstairs. How the hell did they bring him down?
They built him downstairs.
They took out a window, just
there's
a
transporter beam in the building.
Like I said,
you're like, seriously, guys, we need to put some rockets on this thing.
There's a handicap ramp.
They wheel at 209 down. It's got to be like 30 feet wide, though.
They just gave him some rollerblades.
Right?
Like I said, since we're talking about RoboCop,
enjoying
not for nothing.
Myself.
There's one guy that does not get enough credit in that movie, and that's Miguel Ferrer, who is fantastic.
Yes.
In RoboCop.
Who's not giving him credit though?
Because I
was going to say no one has.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Anybody that sees that guy is like, oh,
Miguel.
It's that guy.
Miguel Ferrer is fantastic.
Miguel Ferrer.
They may not know who his
resting
what his name
in peace,
is, but they
Miguel?
All know.
He snorts cocaine off that girl's her flabbergasters.
DJ said that he thinks that Ed Harris is pretty tough. Carl says that
Ed Harris?
John Wick.
I would.
After watching Milk Money, that kind of softened my tone on Ed Harris, man.
You ever think about
He's
this?
Not done anything tough in a movie.
I've watched Milk Money, and I actually like it. But here's the problem. Who is that movie for? Because it's not necessarily like a kid's movie.
That's for the kids who are fantasizing about hookers moving into their treehouse.
It's like,
for 13-year-old kids.
I do like that movie.
It's for the real ass kids.
Yeah, that was one of Melanie Griffith's last great roles.
I guess yes, Ed Harris, but I mean, you know, Married with Children didn't really take him very.
That's not the one. You're thinking about Ed O'Neill and Dutch.
Oh, right.
Dutch.
Wow, can you picture a Death Wish with Ed O'Neill?
I could.
O'Neill would be good.
I could.
Wow. He's got the grizzle.
Do you remember in Married with Children, his favorite TV show is called Psycho Dad?
Psycho Dad, yep.
Yes. He could be Psycho Dad.
His favorite movie is Hondo,
I think that,
which he only aired once a year.
Once a year.
And he missed it every time he was on.
I have to tell you that Ed O'Neill should be commended for his great work in Dutch, because I don't think
incredible.
I don't think John Hughes gets enough credit.
One of your favorite movies.
Dutch is fantastic.
You're thinking of Dutch Oven.
No, I'm not.
When you guys sleep together,
Dutch is a terrific Thanksgiving film too.
Yes, yeah. It is
amazing.
And that's not a lot of those.
That's when Ethan Embry was Ethan Randall.
There's
Remember?
Some.
That's,
no, yeah. He was still Ethan Randall when he did Empire Records.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, he was.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I knew him as
that.
Ethan Embry in Empire
Pretty
Records.
Sure. In Empire, I think he went back to that in Can't Hardly Wait, because I do remember there was a different name.
Hmm.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
All right, well, DJ, he says, what is Milk Money? Sir, Google it, man.
You're going to stop thinking Ed Harris is tough once you watch Milk Money.
Yeah, you need to watch Milk Money. And Carl does bring up, lastly, before we get out of here, Carl does bring up a great Sly Stallone character, and that's Cobra. That's my
okay, whatever.
I freaking love Cobra. I love Cobra. Cobra's fantastic.
So.
I'm a huge fan of Cobra.
Yeah, I mean,
we don't all agree that Cobra's dope. I love Cobra.
I like Cobra.
I think so, but he's no Charlie Bronson.
What I love about Cobra is the fact that he takes on a serial killer cult, which is so awesome. I love
with his
that movie.
Fancy pistols.
He
and
hooks
all
that,
that
guy up with a chain at the end.
Yeah, George P. Cosmatos, the director. It's fantastic. I love Cobra.
That's a great movie.
That is a great movie. So anyway,
that's an underrated.
I think there's only one man who belongs on this tough guy list that we're not talking about, and he's one of my favorite actors of all time, and that's Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell belongs in there.
No, he
doesn't. You're telling me that Kurt Russell doesn't?
I'm going to give you
the
Kurt Russell.
The computer that wore tennis shoes?
Yes.
I'm gonna give you Kurt Russell, but then you got to add Patrick Swayze.
I thought you loved Kurt Russell. You don't love Kurt Russell?
I do love Kurt Russell, but I would not put him in the same territory as you know.
It's Charlie Brown.
If Kurt Russell gets in the door, so does Patrick Swayze.
I see what you're saying. He can play a tough
Dirty
character,
Dancing
but you don't necessarily regard him as a tough guy in real life.
I think he's so versatile that he doesn't necessarily belong to just the tough guy persona.
All right.
I can see that.
You got to have guys who are only tough guys.
Right.
Yeah. Like John Wayne, the kind of guys who have like 30 pounds of impacted crap in their colon. And you can see it in their attitude. That's
that
who
means we're all tough guys.
Been meaning to talk to you about
I always
that
felt
time.
Like I was.
See, the problem is Kurt Russell is
he's
a
not,
really tough guy.
He's not consistently tough
DJ
enough.
DJ says that he's too pretty, and yes, he,
yeah,
is,
he is
pretty. But
yeah, he is.
If no one has ever seen Tango and Cash or The Thing.
Sure,
or,
whatever.
But Stallone's the tougher guy in Tango and Cash.
True, but they both dress up as ladies.
And in Big Trouble in Little China, he's not even the one involved in all the action.
I'm telling you right now, he could stand with the best.
All right, how about if he was still alive, Walter Matthau?
What?
Walter Matthau.
He's pretty grizzled.
Hey, listen.
He's not tough,
you're
but
laughing,
he's grizzled.
You're laughing, but let me tell you something. Walter Matthau, Snake Plissken, by the way. Thank you, Chuck. Snake Plissken, Kurt Russell.
But what else?
Yeah.
Here's
what
the
else?
Thing.
I mean,
what else, Chuck? What
Walter
else?
Walter Matthau, let me get to this. You are right, because Walter Matthau is in a great movie
Bad News Bears.
Called Pelham 123, which is the taking of
the
Pelham
123. The original
Pelham 123.
I saw that movie, dude. John Travolta was in that one.
No, it's not the one.
John Travolta!
And he's also in a great film that no very few people know about that
and
he actually took the role.
Film?
He actually took
Debbie
the
Does Dallas.
No, he took
Debbie
the
Does
role.
Debbie Does
He took the role from Clint Eastwood. It was originally written for Clint Eastwood, and Walter Matthau took it. It's called Charlie Varick. If you guys can find Charlie Varick,
I'll check it out.
That Charlie.
Is that
great.
Like Hondo? It only airs once a year.
No. It is a
you can't DVR it.
It is a it's almost like a gangster flick. It's a heist flick. It's awesome. It's pretty
Walter
awesome.
Matthau is a grizzled dude.
Would you guys consider Jeff Bridges for Death Wish?
He's too nice.
He's too much of the dude.
Maybe that's because we think of him as the dude. Do you think that he has a versatility like Kurt Russell that could make him believable as a hero?
Are we really that short on tough dudes?
We kind of
Where's the tough guys, man?
Dude, it's...
Well, he was in the remake of
All right, Danny Trejo.
Danny Trejo. Oh, that's good. That's,
yes.
That's I can see
the
that.
Trejo.
All right.
Death
All right.
Danny that's Trejo. Come up, so
wow. Yeah. No, Danny Trejo wins.
You got to have guys who are on that caliber of toughness.
Danny Trejo makes a cameo in a film that I think that everybody should watch. It stars
Dusk Till Dawn. We've seen it.
Yeah, no, it stars John Voight and Eric Roberts. If you guys have never seen Runaway Train, you guys should. It
oh,
is
speaking of Trejo,
fantastic.
He did a cameo on
Rick and Morty. He was Jaguar.
And it was so good.
No, it was so good.
Jaguar.
That's a guy, Carl. That's a good guy. James Woods is another good tough guy. Yeah. I like James Woods.
That dude is so imitatable.
Wait a minute. He's a controversial guy right now.
Oh yeah, he is.
People don't like him anymore.
He hates trans people.
No, he's very much a
yes.
He's very much not a lefty, as it were. He's not a lefty in Hollywood.
Trans people.
So
him and Kid Rock get together and drink the Kool-Aid with the Nuge.
I follow James Woods and I love his tweets.
Yeah.
Anyway,
of course you do.
Of course I do. I love them.
DJ, you love the smell of them.
I think DJ has the final word on this, and he's absolutely right. Tough guys are being passed over for pretty guys, and I could not agree more.
That's why we need dirty, ugly, gritty tough guys, man.
Yeah. Ever since vampires started sparkling,
I think it's time that we take Clooney. This into our own hands, and the Nerd Watch remakes Hard Ticket to Hawaii.
Oh man,
I just watched that like two nights ago.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, because it's the 30th anniversary.
Man,
that movie's still awesome.
I think Hard Ticket to Hawaii is one of those movies that is such a
I'll punch your ticket.
What?
Everybody should see it for
Wait,
the comic.
Wait, you say ticket?
Yeah, that's what
okay.
I said.
Now, hang on a second. Hard Ticket to Hawaii has the famous...
Is that a real movie?
Yeah.
Are you saying ticket?
It is a real movie.
Okay, just checking.
Isn't that... Hard Ticket to Hawaii is the one with the razor-bladed frisbee, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And the cancer snake.
And the cancer
what?
Snake, yes.
Yeah. I'm not getting what you're saying.
Everybody, who is anybody, before we leave the show tonight, everybody look for Charlie Varick and Hard Ticket to Hawaii.
There's going
to
be questions at the trivia
night.
Please.
No, gee, I'm going to say this about Hard Ticket to Hawaii. Every movie I've ever seen in Hawaii always has awful pigeon. In the beginning of Hard Ticket to Hawaii,
that's good.
The two local guys talking
are perfect.
It's the best pigeon I've ever heard in a mainland movie.
Agreed.
It's the best.
Okay, agreed.
Okay. You sold me?
Yeah, Hard Ticket to Hawaii. Check it out. It's a bad movie, but you need to see it.
I don't know,
DJ
man.
Needs to
I like
stop.
Bad movies.
It's right up there with Trolls 2 and
I didn't see any of those.
Stop
and
it.
The Room.
It's not, you're right, though. You are kind of right.
Maybe
yeah,
it's
you are
like,
kinda
no,
right.
It's a B-movie.
The Disaster Artist, by the way, looks incredible.
I can't wait
trailer.
For that either.
The Room. Uh-huh. What's that guy's name?
James Franco. Oh, Tommy Wiseau.
Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah.
They did the movie with James Franco.
They're going to do... They're also going to do William Marston and his Wonder Woman.
And his Wonder Women or Wonder Woman?
Wonder Women.
Wonder Women. Yeah, that's coming out too. That looks interesting. Yeah. By the way,
didn't
DJ...
that movie come out in the 90s
no.
called Threesome?
Three... with Stephen Baldwin.
Yes. The most talented Baldwin.
Yeah, the most talented. I love that Baldwin. He's my favorite.
Yeah, he had a total movie about him banging two chicks.
I thought I thought it was Robert Downey Jr.
No,
that's Baldwin.
It
that's,
is?
That's
You're
Stephen Baldwin.
You're talking about singles or something.
No. He's right. I believe Threesome is Stephen Baldwin. It is love. Stephen Baldwin, Robert Downey Jr., and...
Oh, okay, so Robert Downey Jr. is in the film?
Stephen Baldwin and Robert Downey Jr.
Are they Heather Graham's in the movie, right?
Dudes.
No, that's a different one.
That's
what am I thinking
okay,
of?
Look up Threesome.
That's the squeakquel.
Does somebody want to look up Threesome?
That's Human Centipede 1.
By the way, DJ on the Facebook live chat needs to stop chiming in because he picked some good ones. Mel Gibson, Gary Busey.
Old school Busey, yes, I agree on that. New Busey, not so much.
Sam Campos is in the house, and he says Nemesis has great pigeon in it, too.
Nemesis.
Nemesis. I've never Star Trek that. Nemesis. As a nerd, that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of Star Trek Nemesis. Right.
I have the answer.
Set phases for stuff.
I have the answer for a threesome. In human sexuality, a threesome is sexual activity that involves three people.
Hey,
the same
stop it! You're such the movie.
Oh,
pick up
sorry.
The movie, you dummy.
Okay, hold on.
Pictures. Alexis too. Is right. Laura Flynn Boyle is in the threesome. She's right about that. I knew that.
No.
I knew that.
I found this.
That's pictures of threesome.
Ah, stop that, man. No, man. That's horrible.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Why don't you type in threesome and
then
start typing
Tommy Lee Jones.
I feel like if I keep putting in threesome movie, I'm going to get a totally different kind of movie.
Yeah. All right, listen.
Oh, wait, hold on. Okay, 1994, erotic, 1 hour, 34 minutes.
Nice. Stephen Baldwin.
Hold on. Okay, so Josh Charles, Stephen Baldwin, and Laura Flynn Boyle.
That's why you didn't know the other guy. Josh
came
Charles.
Out in April 8, 1994.
That's it. Yeah.
And according to this review, there's
New
no
York
penetration
being
shots.
Killed himself.
Stop it. All right, listen.
Oh man, she doesn't put her tongue on two people at once.
Doesn't like Robert Downey Jr. is in this movie. It's Josh Charles, Alexis Arquette.
Maybe he thought Josh Charles was Robert Downey Jr.
It's possible.
Maybe Josh Charles should have been Iron Man.
Maybe he should have
remake this movie.
Yeah, they should.
I want to look at
The Rock.
I want to look at those other threesome movies I saw.
Yes, let's lobby right now for the remake of Threesome starring The Rock.
Right?
By the end of that movie, threesome won't be believable. It'd have to be like 17-some.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Because if The Rock was accepting multiple partners, the line would be like around the corner.
You're absolutely right.
And it's going to be The Rock playing all the other multiple partners, too.
Ooh, that's what
I
want to see.
I would also watch that.
According to Alexis, Isaac is thinking of a movie called Two Girls and a Guy.
Thank you.
That's it.
Okay.
That's
so
it.
He stars in a threesome movie as well.
Right, with Heather Graham and Robert Downey Jr. and some other guy.
I think it was the same time,
some
though.
Other guy.
It was like when
lady.
Armageddon and Deep Impact came out at the same time.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, nice. Deep Impact.
In which case, it was both Laura Flynn Boyle.
Okay.
I'm going to look up that Deep Impact movie, too.
Look up that as well. Anyway, we are out of time. We have got to get out of here. We are going off the friggin' rails, okay?
I'm
going
to look at that right now.
We went from action movies to threesome films. This is insane.
Starting with Death Wish.
Oh my gosh, go figure.
So look for it in theaters. It probably won't be there long.
That's right.
Bruce Willis and Death Wish.
I can't.
Oh
wait
my god. The torture chamber where a Craigslist threesome ended in death.
Stop it. We are out of time.
Was it Death Wish threesome?
Craig, that looks like your house.
That looks like my house.
Five positions for deep penetration.
Stop it. I'm turning your mic off right now.
Yeah, totally do that.
It.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's off really loudly.
You guys are all off now. All of you off. All right, we're out of time.
What about me?
No dice.
All
right, listen, guys. Seriously, we got to get out of here. We're out of time. We didn't have time to talk about Twin Peaks. We didn't have time to talk about Mark Millar World.
We
didn't.
We got another show coming.
We kind of do have another show coming. So let's
see you in a little bit.
Yeah, we'll try and keep it as short and sweet as possible. We're
right
out of time. We are the Nerd Watch. You guys can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/NerdWatch.
No days.
Follow us on Twitter at Nerd Watch Nation. Follow us on Instagram at the_NerdWatch. You guys can donate to the podcast at patreon.com/NerdWatch as well. Let's do a pigeon Nerd Watch, DJ. You need to stop chiming in right now, pal.
DJ got to be here for that one.
Yeah, he's got to be here for that one. But yes, and please, you guys
good.
Can listen to us on iTunes.
If you can't tell,
listen to
we
us
all
on,
speak pretty good English.
Listen to us on Audio Boom.
I'm a writer.
And our brand new way to listen to us, Stitcher. Check us out on Stitcher as well. So for Todd, for Gannon.
Aloha.
For Isaac. You guys do have mics, by the way. For Isaac.
Hey,
for Format. And for Alika.
So we can talk more comics.
And, of course, our Peanut Gallery. Thanks for the Retro Gaming guys for showing
Bye,
up.
Retro
Thank
Gamers.
You,
Guy in the house. And, of course,
Abe and Steve.
Sean Mohan. Chinaman.
That's kind of racist.
We're out of time.
Kind of racist, yes.
Peace
Kai
out.
Kai of the Hobbit Feet.
Much love. And most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And until next week, we say to you guys,
Aloha!
Puerto Ricans.
Wait, I thought you were going to say nut...